Welcome to another practical teaching of God's Word by Pastor Harold McPherson, pastor of Covenant Community Church in Suffolk, Virginia. Here at Covenant, we are committed to leading people into genuine relationship with God through the power of Jesus Christ. And now, here is Pastor McPherson.
But she had bought some apples along with some other things that, you know, we had, you know, when you buy the produce, they put it in a bag and separate that from the other food. And so we got home, I've taken all the bags out of the car, and we noticed that we didn't have the apples. That wasn't, I mean, seeing the apples didn't cost that much, you know. But still, I paid for them. I paid for them and I don't eat them. But I was getting ready to go back and get them. Why? Because I paid for them. They don't belong to the store. They belong to me. And my wife had the encouragement because I was on my way. She said, no, don't worry about them apples. Now we pay for them apples. One but two. I was going to burn $5 worth of gas and go get two apples. I'm tight, y'all. I'm tight. I'm sorry. I know. You pray for me. I'm tight. I know I'm tight. And I was going back to get them apples. I was going back to get them, but she stopped. And all she said, don't you leave them apples alone. So I didn't go back. Jesus has paid for stuff. But too many people are leaving it at the checkout. And he paid for it with his life. His body was broken beyond recognition so that I don't have to live with a broken body. He experienced pain that would kill 10 men. But they couldn't kill him. And we're going to see why. Couldn't kill him. He had to say, it's finished. With flesh hanging off, ribs exposed, black back beaten raw. He had to say, it's finished. Because God has said, the price has been paid. So therefore, I should not leave at the checkout what my Lord has paid for. And here at Covenant, we are going back to the store. Huh? We're going back to the store and we're going to get everything. Oh, come on. We're going to get everything. Huh? We're going to rub oil on your head until you lose your hair. And then we're going to trust God to put it back there. But we're going to go back and get everything that Jesus Christ our Lord has paid for. Healing, deliverance, glory be to God. Whatever he has paid for, we're going to receive it in Jesus' name. Oh, come on and give the Lord a hand of praise. I need you to understand now. Because, see, we understand that he paid for sin. We have no problem with that. And we receive salvation right away. Huh? Why? Because you've been taught that all your life. That the moment you repent and express faith towards for God for salvation, your sins are removed immediately. You weren't born believing that. Somebody had to teach you that. And God has me here this morning teaching you that the same one who paid for your sin paid for your healing. And our faith has to get to the same level where I believe I can receive healing just as soon as I can receive salvation. Huh? Because the same one who paid for my sins to be removed paid for sickness to be eradicated from my body. But our faith is not quite there yet. But by the grace of God and the help of the Holy Ghost, we're going to get to that place. Amen. When you come to the altar to be saved, you receive healing at the same time. Jesus Christ was our substitute. I'm going to read the text to you again. That's verses 4 and 5. Surely he has bore our griefs, that is, our sicknesses and diseases, and carried our sorrows, that is, our pain, affliction, anguish. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. In other words, he said, I'm standing in the gap. And I'm taking upon myself your sin, your sickness and disease, so that you don't have to carry it. That's the pivot point of faith. Yes. See, that's the pivot point. Lou, that's the pivot point. I have to believe that. That the same one who paid for my sins to be removed, at the same time, he paid for sickness and disease to be removed. But most of us don't really believe that. Not yet. Not yet. That's why the Lord Jesus often say when he healed people, according to your faith, be it unto you. Told the woman with the issue of blood, daughter, your faith has made you well. You believed that I could do it, and I did it. And I did what you believed that I could do. Okay? Jesus Christ was our substitute, for sin and sin. Can we say that together? Jesus Christ was our substitute for sin and sickness. That's what the text where we read, that's what it said. That's what it said. You know, we had some, you know, trees, you know, a lot of trees in our neighborhood and in our backyard, especially we had a lot of trees, big old oak trees. And I don't know, we had a bunch of them cut down. I've lost count, been so many. You know, and when they were cut down the trees, it was important that they would grind the root. And so this one particular tree, you know, the guy did, he did bring the machine in my backyard. He did grind. But I know what happened. Because the tree was close to my fence, he didn't grind all of the root, Larry. He didn't grind it all. So just about every year, I get a baby oak tree that I have to level, cut it down. Because he didn't get the root out. You got to catch it. You got to catch it. Oh, you got to catch it. Tell your neighbor, buckle up. Please understand, you can go to the next slide. Before Adam fell in the garden, he as well as Eve had no experience with pain. It's important for you to understand that. Because God never made people to experience pain. That's why it says in Revelation 21 and verse 4, he said there will be no more pain. He said, I'm going to wipe away every tear. There will be no more pain. No more, because he never intended for you and I to experience pain. And before Adam and Eve fell into God and transgressed against God, they didn't know what pain was. They didn't know what sickness and disease was. What is that? I don't know what that is. All I know is I feel good every day. all my systems are working at 100%. My brain is functioning at 100%. If God tells me to do it, I can do it. You want me to name all the animals of creation? I can name them all. I'm functioning at 100%. There is no dysfunction in my body. Every system, immune system, cardiovascular system, nervous system, skeletal system, muscular system, every system, reproductive, everything is working at 100%. And it's not diminished as I pass through time. I'm just as strong today as I was when God made me. Amen. I wake up fresh every day. No arthritis, no nothing. I don't, what is arthritis? I don't know. What is that? I don't know what that is. Huh? All I know is good. But one day he blew it. He transgressed against God. And when he sinned, hear me now, when he sinned, he opened the door. He opened the door to sin, sickness, disease, poverty, lack, pressure, stress, strain, violence, destruction. He opened the door to all that ails mankind to this very day. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. So sickness and disease. So you say, well, you know, I'm going to ask a few questions. So where did sickness and disease come from? When did it begin? What caused the effect of pain, sickness, and disease? Got to catch it then. It came in through sin. Doug, do me a favor. I'm going to just a little illustration because I got to get you to understand. Doug, can go open that door for me and just keep it open. Open the door for me. So now when he opened that door, everything that was outside of Adam's experience came in. Because evil was present, but he didn't know it. Come on in. But when he sinned, he opened the door. And evil came in, and the effects of evil came in. Sickness and disease is an effect of sin. Come on in, come on. But the Bible says, we don't have time to go there, but come on back in and close the door, Doug. But it talks about in Romans 5, and I'm paraphrasing, that if one man could open the door, if one man can open the door, then surely one man can close it. Doug opened it, and Doug closed it. Adam opened it, but the second Adam closed it. Come on now. You got to understand that if I can experience the effects of evil, I also have to be able to experience the effects of righteousness. Yeah. I can't just experience the negative and not experience the positive. The positive is greater than the negative. But I've been trained to believe the negative and not believe the positive. But now God is correcting my thinking and showing me, no. You don't just have to experience what the first Adam did. The second Adam has closed the door. And now you can experience the effect of righteousness. Oh, come on and give God praise in the house of God. Hallelujah. Many stay defeated because many do not understand. And the devil is a proponent of ignorance and darkness. So that he can do what he wants to do under the banner of darkness. But God is bringing light to his children and letting you know that you don't have to put up with what Jesus paid for you to be free from. Come on now. Do you receive it? Come on. When he went to the cross, you got to catch it now. Steve, when he went to that cross, I can see him just like that guy with the stump grinding machine. They wanted him to fight with the Romans. They wanted him to do, no. He don't understand, no. I'm not fighting against symptoms. Because what you're dealing with in the culture is symptoms. You got to understand that if you remove the cause, the symptoms will leave. If I get a man's heart right, then I can change him from being a violent man to being a man of peace. If I get a man's heart right, I can change him from being a thief to being a giver. So I'm not here to deal with symptoms. No. I'm not here to just manage pain. I'm not here to just make people feel good. I've got a stump grinder. I'm going to the cross, and I'm grinding out the root of all sickness, the root of all disease, the root of all violence, the root of all poverty. I'm grinding out sin. Oh, come on, hallelujah. Selah, you got to take that home. You got to think about it now. You got to let that sink in, because that'll change your paradigm. It'll change your way of thinking. See? And that's not just going to happen here Sunday this morning. You got to chew on that for a little while. He taught me that, and I had to chew on it for a little while. And for a while, I was scared to teach it, because I said, Lord, that's word, that's Bible. And you got to teach it whether people are ready for it or not. You got to let them catch up with what I said. Come on now. You just can't teach and preach to where people are. You got to teach and preach to where you want them to go.
See? Huh?
Jesus Christ, our Lord, our substitute, defeated sickness and disease for us at the root. Because it came in through one man's sin. It can be eradicated by one man's obedience. If Adam, being a man, he was a man made from the ground, could cause all of this by his disobedience, how much more? Talks about that in Romans. How much more can the one man, not just being a man, but being the Son of God, through his obedience, change us from being sinners to saints, change us from being thieves to givers? Amen. Is anybody here? Jesus has changed you.
Okay. Thank you, Lord.
Did you get anything out of this now? You understand? I know it's a lot. We're gonna stay here for. We're gonna stay here as long as the Lord wants us to stay here. Because I get you to understand. Because understanding is important to what you believe.
Yes, it is.
And what you believe is important to what you receive.
Yes.
Because you won't receive no more than what you believe.
Yes.
And you won't believe no more than what you know to believe.
Yes.
I'm coming to a close. I'm getting ready. Because I know I can see you say, I'm a pastor, I'm on overload right now. I got to go. But and it's in John 5. We don't have time to turn there, but it was in John 5. And the Lord Jesus, he would preach and heal, 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 preach and cure, preach and heal. And he went to the pool of Bethesda. And we went there. When we went to Israel, I went to the pool of Bethesda. It's something. It's something. And the pool of Bethesda had five porches. The Bible says that in that place, many sick people lay. Because an angel would come down. They had a pool there. And an angel would come down at certain seasons, and an angel would just stir the water. God being merciful. God was merciful, man. God was merciful. He sent an angel every now and then to stir the water. And the first one to step in got healed. First one. And the Lord Jesus went to this man who had been there for a long time, for 38 years. That's chronic illness. 38 years. That's a long time. That's long. That's almost four decades. He was lame. So other people would beat him to the water because he couldn't mobilize properly. But the Lord looked at him and said, now, do you want to be well? Because how many know I got to want to be well?
Yeah. That's
why I can't be tripping about sickness and disease. I can't be using it for attention and letting it stay around because I want people to pat me on the head. I can't do it for that. No. He asked him, Do you want to be well? Because maybe he knew that, no, you here and you got some other issues. You land here because you want people to feel sorry for you. Don't, and you know if I hear you, you got to go to work. So you don't be carrying these pencils no more. When I hear you, you're going to pick up your bed, go home, go to work. You can't be laying around here expecting people to give for something to you because they feel sorry for you. No, if you able-bodied, you're going to have to do what able-bodied people do. Are you ready for that transition? Because with healing comes responsibility. He said, do you want to be well? Do you want to be well? Because I know what you're thinking. I know what your motive is. Do you want to be well? I know how long you've been here. Do you want to be well? Do you want it? He began to explain to my, you know. Do you want to be well? He said, rise. Take up your bed and go home. Man rose. Because the Lord of healing told him to get up.
Yeah.
And he got up. Because the Lord Jesus, because he had no sin, he had authority over sickness and disease.
Yeah.
Sickness and disease had no right to cling to him in any way. Because he had not transgressed according to Adam's transgression. And that's why he could command, you've got to go. But he found a man in the temple later on. Around verse 14, he found him. Because people were asking him, who told you to get up? Because it was the Sabbath. Because the Lord Jesus would do things on the Sabbath just to make the religious people trip. As if I can't heal on the Sabbath. I can do what I want to do when I want to do it. Man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. So he wouldn't work himself to death. He found him. He found him in the temple. He said, come here. I'm paraphrasing. He said, come here. Because they had asked him, who did this to you? He said, I don't know who did it. I don't know. He just told me to get up and go home. I got up. Because the Lord didn't even tell me who they. He didn't know. He didn't know. He didn't know. The Lord Jesus wasn't walking around with a halo around the top of his head. He was just, I mean, the Bible said, we read it. There was no beauty of him that we should behold him. He was just an average looking person. Because he didn't want to stand out. He didn't walk, he wouldn't walk around glowing. He said, let me tell you something. Come here. Let me tell you something. You go now. You go and sin no more. Lest a worse thing come upon you. In other words, I close the door. But if you keep opening it, you're going to be worse than you were before. I shut the door to sickness and disease in your flesh. Now, don't you go playing with sin. Because I know what you did before you came into this pool. Now, don't you go back to doing what you used to do. Or you're going to find yourself beside this pool again. And I might not come by here again because I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission. I'm going to the cross. And after I pay the price I got to pay, I'm up out of here. But don't you mess around and forfeit what I've done in your flesh by messing around with the devil. That's why as we believe the Lord for miracles, signs, and wonders, as the children of God, as the children of God, as the children of God, as he heals our bodies, we can't go back to just messing with stuff. Amen. We can't go back to holding grudges and being mean and nasty. No, no, no. As he heals us, we've got to walk in righteousness like never before. Oh, come on and give God praise in the house of God. We can't walk in healing and then go home and cuss your wife out. Huh? I can't walk in healing and go home and bite my wife's head off. He told that man, let me tell you something now. Because this is no game. This is no game. The same Lord who heals me knows how I behave myself. He told that man, go and sin no more. Don't do what you used to do. The Lord has been merciful to you and healed you in spite of your sin. Don't you go back and wallow in sin again and open the door to sickness and disease. A worse thing will come upon you. Is that all right? Is that all right? Just like the old preacher about Mike. Is that all right? Is it says all right? The Lord had me to say quite a few things that I didn't plan to say. But I trust I said what he wanted me to say. But, I'm not interested in just having good services. I'm not interested in just having good church. I've been in church all my life. And I've seen a lot of foolishness in church. And I've seen people die from church pews because they refuse to do what is right. I'm not trying to do that. I'm not just trying to fill up this church so we can have multiple services. I'm not. I'm getting too old now for the foolishness of youthfulness. Life is serious. People are in pain. Can somebody tell me how to get out of this pain? There are people that are addicted to drugs because they're trying to manage pain. They're just trying to manage pain. There are people that are addicted on opioids because they're just trying to manage pain. I'm in pain, man. Can somebody help me to get out of this pain? I got pain in my body. I got pain in my soul. Life is full of pressure. Can somebody? America makes up just 45% of the world's population, but consumes 80% of the world's painkillers. 80%. Only 4, maybe 5% of the world's population, but we consume 80% of the world's painkillers. What does it say? Our nation is in pain. Children are in pain. Over 100 million people live with chronic disease. Over 100 million. We're just a country of 318 million people. A third of the country is chronically sick. Can somebody show me Jesus? Can somebody show me somebody that can take away my pain? I've got a good doctor and he manages my pain. But I got to be careful how he manages it because I can get addicted to the management. Can somebody bring relief to me? That somebody is who we talked about in Isaiah. That somebody is the risen Son of God. That somebody paid for our sin. He paid for our sickness. He paid for our disease. He paid for our poverty. He paid for it all. Jesus paid for it all. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. For you know the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich.
Thank you.
Receive that this morning. In these last days, God is raising up his church. He's making his church a hospital for sinners. He's making his church soul-saving stations. Where the saint and the sinner can come and receive healing. Cure for their disease. Hope for the hopeless. Oh, hallelujah. Do you believe it today? Come on, do you believe it today?
Thank you for listening to this teaching. To receive prayer or to order this teaching in its entirety, call us at 757-539-1724. At Covenant Community Church, we believe that you can achieve victory in every area of your life through living by God's word. Remember, with God, we are champions.